It's all about the child. We all have our plans. We all have our thoughts. We all have our hopes. We all have our dreams. Mary's dream certainly would be to go down the bath pole. Probably not going to happen. But it's all about the child. You guys see, this month, we're aware that a baby is coming. Have you heard this? A baby's coming. Millions of let's look at Luke 2:20. The shepherds returned glorifying God and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. You see, millions of Christians around the world choose to celebrate the birth of Jesus during this time of year. Some believers practice this on the 24th, some on the 25th, some even on January 7th. While some choose not to celebrate at all. Whenever a Christian decides to celebrate, or if he or she elects not to celebrate his birth, we can all rejoice in the fact that by putting on humanity, the Son of God became one of us. The Son of God became one of us to deal with our sin. By dying in our place, before conquering death when he rose from the dead. See, it's all about the baby. It's all about the child. A child is coming. The Gospel of Matthew gives us another reason to be thankful. The events associated with the birth of Jesus fulfilled numerous Old Testament prophecies, given centuries before the events they described. Matthew 1, verse 22. Take notes. Look this up when you get home. Look it up now. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 introduces a common statement in his work. He wrote, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." Since he used this phrasing in at least a dozen passages, Matthew knew that it was important to point out to his readers that many of the events he described fulfilled specific prophecies. Let's take a look at some of these ancient proclamations. And let's look at their cause for celebration. The first use of the fulfillment phrase mentioned above introduces one of the best-known prophecies in the Bible. Something tells me you guys have heard this one before. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 states, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Pretty amazing to think about. In reference to the birth of Jesus, Matthew cited a specific prophecy from Isaiah made more than 700 years earlier. See, I'm going to get to a point in this. I'm going to get to a point in this sermon that God's timing is not always ours. It's not always our timing. "Therefore, the Lord Himself," as it states in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Just as foretold, the Virgin Mary indeed did conceive, as it states in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "and bore a son who is called Emmanuel." This amazing event demonstrates God's infinite knowledge and power. He is capable for foretelling the future with perfect precision, and He has the power to bring His prophecies to pass, even if that means that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. After Christ's birth, the Magi arrived in Jerusalem. Herod gathered the chief priests and scribes and asked them where the Messiah was going to be born. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. They responded by citing an Old Testament prophecy, pinpointing Bethlehem as the birthplace of Christ. See, even these guys knew. The wise men, the Magi. They knew to look back and see what God would let us in on. It stated, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Take these notes. Look this up when you get home. Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, with a cross-reference of Micah 5, 2. And John 7, 42. Herod's murderous response of slaughtering the young boys of Bethlehem. Times were pretty tough back then, too. Herod's slaughtering boys. But that led to the fulfillment of three more prophecies. First, this tragic massacre fulfilled the words of Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. It's in Jeremiah 31, verse 15. And Matthew references it in Matthew chapter 2, verse 18. See, the original context of this prophecy had to do with mothers in Israel lamenting the deportation of their sons to Babylon. These mothers were personified as Rachel, the mother in the days of the patriarchs whose sons, Joseph and Benjamin, had also been threatened with being no more. Carried away into Egypt, Ramah was a town close to Jerusalem and associated with Rachel's tomb. The second fulfilled prophecy resulting from Herod's paranoiac rage. The guy was nuts. But prophecy was being fulfilled. See, God's timing is not always our timing. The second fulfilled prophecy in his rage took place after Joseph took Mary and Jesus to Egypt. Upon their return, God's word to Hosea were fulfilled, where it states in chapter 11, verse 1, "Out of Egypt I called my son." This prophecy was originally made as a statement of history. God had called and brought Israel out of Egypt. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Matthew used these words to refer to the Messiah. That's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot of history, a lot of prophecy. We've kind of been bing-banging around through the Old Testament and into the New Testament. But see, these guys knew this stuff. Matthew knew it well. And Matthew wanted you to be aware that God had a plan. God has a plan. God's timing is always the right timing. That issue that you've been praying over, the situation that you've been wrestling with God about, whatever it is, God's timing is always right. You see, it's all about the child. The child who would one day become a man and bear all of our sins. The story, which you are living in right now, which you are a part of right now, the story, whether Old Testament or now, is connected to the child. Your story is connected to the child. So let's move to a couple of friends I met over the last, month, in the midst of my study. A couple of friends I met called Zach and Liz. I'm not a mom. I will never be a mom. But as a dad, as a man, I think I have a small inkling. But I think moms have it so much stronger. Why is it that feeling to have a child is so strong? What makes people want to have a baby? Is it a sense of immortality? I took a walk with William this morning. And, of course, Sarah's ripping him out of our arms again, heading back to Tennessee to be with their dad. Gosh, that makes sense. It's so amazing to see your children and your children's children, and God willing, perhaps one more line. I don't know yet. You know, it's up to Him. What a gift. What a gift to love on and to be a part of, to care from the point of innocence till they're so stubborn that they won't even get up and sing on a Sunday morning. Maybe it's that sense that everyone around you, all your friends, your folks, you hang out with the other couples, everybody's having children. And as such has created a desire in you due to the joy that you see in them. For some, sadly, maybe it's just procreation. You know, it is. God has built that sense into us. People want babies to create families, to have something bigger than themselves to think about. And as I said, have you ever seen the smiling face of a toddler? How can you resist? In the time that Jesus was to be born, having a child brought with it a certain worth to the mother. It's in some circles today, it's become somewhat cheapened. It's not necessarily containing the value it once did. In some circles, in many of us, it's still there and it's still strong. And there was intense worth in these times to be able to have a child. Not having a child brought stigma. They were considered barren. What a word. Not capable of, not able to produce offspring. Sterile. A barren woman. This is the dictionary description. Unproductive. Unfruitful. Ouch. Imagine the pain that is carried with that mindset. And that was clearly the pain associated with this stigma, and would leave one feeling somewhat insignificant. But remember, as I've stated at the beginning and throughout, that God's timing is always right. That's hard for us to grasp sometimes. It's hard for us to take hold of, but God's timing is always right. I want to introduce you to that couple that I was talking about. A couple who are righteous in God's eyes. They did things right. And most likely felt a little let down in their current situation. Zach and Liz. Zach worked at the church. Or in this time it might have been called temple. But for what we understood, he was a solid church-going, hard-working, involved in the ministry, you know. And Liz, I don't know that they would call them that in this era, but stay-at-home wife. With an intense desire to be a mom. A desire she felt would never be answered. You see, Zach and Liz had already received their applications for AARP. Mary and I have received ours. I did not like that letter. And for them, life seemed to be winding down. And it would no longer have room for their desires to be fulfilled. Let's take a look at Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. That's an amazing line. I would love to see that line in reference to David and Mary. I don't know that I'm living blamelessly. I try. By God's grace. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And they were both very old. As you guys noted, they already got the cards. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot. Let me stop for a minute and explain this to you guys. Zechariah had been serving at temple for many, many years. Many, many years. And it was quite rare, to the point of perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence, that you would be chosen by lot to do what Zechariah is about to do. This is not an everyday occurrence where Dave or Randy or Mike or Gary say, "Can you do Advent? Can you help us with this up here?" No, this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. God's timing is always right. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Wow. Picture that. You're back there, all by yourself, just you and God. Folks back behind the curtain are worshiping and praying. You're doing the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you have, and an angel appears to you. And these angels weren't how many of you see them with the little baby-looking... That Randy loves those, the little Cupid-looking things, you know. Now, these angels, man, come in and they... Wow! So when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." God's timing is always right. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." Church, do you hear that? He's filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Oh, here comes Zach. God just told him. God just told him, right? God's timing is always right. He has this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, finds himself in the midst of an angel, and says, "What? How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Oops. How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. God's timing is always right. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, the midst of an angel proclaiming that your wife is about to give birth to a child filled with the Holy Spirit, and you ask, "How can I be sure of this?" The angel said to him, probably not in a really soft-spoken quiet, but he probably made it pretty clear, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Let's take a look at the life of Zechariah. Let's take a look at him in a funny, perhaps more modern sense for a moment through parables, and then we'll dive back in. Is that okay?
Doctor, Zechariah is here to see you.
Oh, yes, you are referring to Zechariah, a priest who was found to be in a catatonic state in the temple 9 months ago. Just give him the battery of personality assessment tests.
I have already done that, Doctor.
Oh, well, then show him in and bring his file.
Yes, Doctor.
Thank you, Madeline. And please, hold on my call. This is a very important case.
Yes, Doctor.
Zachariah, my name is Dr. Sigmund Floyd. I am a psychiatrist. Please have a seat while I examine your file. All right, Zachariah, let's see what we have here. You see, until about 9 months ago, you worked as a priest at the temple, and it was while you were burning incense in the holy place that you became catatonic. And 9 months of various treatments have been completely ineffective in regaining your ability to speak. Just now, if you are again. Yeah. All right. Your personality assessments show that you have nothing to do with phobias, no neuroses, no psychoses. So, perhaps you suffered an allergic reaction to the incense? No. All right. If you would like to tell me something, please write it down on this pad on pen. What is that yellow writing? I was visited by an angel of the Lord. I see. Very interesting. Delusions of grandeur. I wonder why this disorder did not show up on the assessment tests. The angel made me speechless because of my lack of faith. Very interesting. These religious manifestations are the worst kind to deal with. They are very slow and respond to treatment. The angel promised that my wife would give birth to a prophet of God on the order of Elijah. Very interesting. Delusions of grandeur and delusions of persecution in the same individual. Say, this case could make me famous. Is that correct? I do not want to alarm you, but there hasn't been a prophet of God in 400 years since the prophet Isaiah. The likelihood that you had a true visitation from a spirit being is, to say the least, highly unlikely. What is that? The Messiah will be born just after my son is born. He is a relative of mine. This confirms my diagnosis. Because I did not believe the angel, I will not be able to speak until my baby is born. Zechariah, I want to lead you on the road back to reality. First of all, the Messiah is a manifestation of the Lord God Almighty. He will descend directly from heaven. He will not be born as a common man. Any idiot knows that. And second, Your wife is over 60 years old, well beyond the age to bear children. It would take a miracle for her. Why are you nodding? It will be a miracle. Zechariah, you are living in a fantasy world. The road to reality will require a little more stringent therapy to work.
Doctor, there is an important telephone call.
Madeline, I thought I told you to hold all my calls. Now, where was I?
But Doctor, this is important.
Madeline, you are trying my patience. I am in the middle of some rather important reality therapy here.
Zachariah's wife just had a baby.
I'm sorry, I thought you said that Zachariah's wife just had a baby.
That is correct. That is what I said.
Well, then Zeki, my boy, therapy is enough for today.
His name is John. I'll call him John Baptist.
Zechariah, you're talking. Well, looks like my therapy works. Zeki, are you angry about something?
I do.
Angry? Yeah. You might say I'm angry.
Now, Zechariah, let's sit down and let's talk about your hidden hostility.
I'll show you hostility, but it won't be hidden. Come back here, doctor. It's time for your reality therapy.
It's a fun way of looking at it. Thank you, parables. That kind of wraps up the reading from Luke, only in a more fun way. So I would encourage you to go home and dig into Scripture and read deeper. But you see, it all fits the story that is to be told. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the prophet lets us know that God is sending. He is sending someone to prepare the way. God's timing is perfect. It says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that day, that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." Zach and Liz's kid was, as it turned out, a fulfillment to that prophecy. God's timing is always right. Someone connected in an important way to the child was coming. The child who would one day become a man and take our sins upon him. God's timing is perfect. The child in Zech and Liz's eyes is perfect. The child, when he first met the Savior, leapt for joy. In the womb. See, it states that at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." If it would have been in Zach and Liz's timing, it wouldn't have been right. Sometimes what doesn't make sense to us makes perfect sense to God. Sometimes what causes the psychologist to beat us with a funny sock makes perfect sense to God. John knew that mom and dad needed to wait on God because the story is all about the child. What we're doing in this life, what we're doing in this world, is all about the child. The way we should be living, the way we should be reacting, interacting, should recognize and realize that it's all about the child. May we recognize that God's timing is always right. And may we recognize that our focus should be on Messiah. Let's pray. I'll pray as Zechariah did. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember His holy covenant, the oath He swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and enable us to serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days.